Lord, I thank you so much that we can just come and be encouraged with one another. Lord, I thank you that just things that were tasty to people that they remember Beaver Creek because of peanut clusters. Lord, I thank you that may we be a great taste in other people's lives, Lord, but even more so in yours. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the message today, that you're going to speak to us and draw us near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we had sharing this week that this week was a difficult week. Actually, last couple weeks, we're going over Philippians 4 through 7. And let's go ahead and read that first, and it'll make a little bit more sense for anybody who's visiting today. If you'd like to stand, we're going to read in Philippians 4 through 7 as you follow along. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. May the word of the Lord continue to move in our lives. We are in part four. This is part four of this group of verses, and this is part B. We didn't finish last week, so we're continuing on from last week. But the last couple weeks have been just for me a very this scripture has been very alive for me, and maybe it has for you as well. If you spend time with the Lord, that the battle of the mind has been so raging, more so than even in previous weeks or even previous months. It's been interesting, but at the same time, very exciting, because I believe that this series of messages are something we can implement every single day in our lives, which is supposed to be implemented every day in our lives, that will transform the way we think, the way we move, and how we act, and how we respond to things. But this week, I have been one of the things that the Lord has just spending time and just even confessing, Lord, I'm so sorry. Back in December, the Lord had just shared, if the righteous stand, I will give favor to the church, and the righteous stood in the church, and has been beautiful to see how God has just continually moving and moving. Well, that 9 months ago, or December was around 8-9 months ago. That's a long time. Very convinced of it at the moment that it took place, and as time has passed, I'm like, Lord, just show me some more evidences, or show me some more, convince me more, Lord, that was truly you that spoke to my heart, which I believed absolutely at the time and absolutely do now. And in things like this take place, as an encouragement to you, the basement, the basement that we've been working with FEMA on, and will that take place? Will it not take place? How much is it going to cost us? Can we afford this? And coming to a point where it was, I don't know. We just decided we don't know. And then a few days later, the Lord pours in and says, I'm going to give you more money for that. And then somebody comes up and says, hey, I'm going to help you with that. And it's like, wow, look, see what the Lord is doing. He has. After we said no, we're going to stop the project, he says, no, you're missing me here. Here it is. I'm pouring into you thousands of dollars more, where it ends up coming, the price comes down way below where we needed to be, where we said in the beginning we're fine with $11,600. We're fine with that. And then our church dynamics change, and even that seems insurmountable. And then the Lord says, as I continue to speak with the county inspectors, and they said, well, hey, I think you're missing something here. We had a $25,000 that we needed to put in. We thought we needed to put in, at least. That's what the architect said. And he says, no, he's wrong. You don't actually need to put that in there. So we don't need to put a $25,000 door in. We put in a little bit of a bigger window for a second egress. But what ends up happening is it flips the numbers around, where we actually, from this point forward, we'll have money in our account paying for everything. Nothing more comes out of our funds to pay for that, which is an absolutely amazing thing.
Let's give God.
Yeah. And you know, I'm like, Lord, oh yes, Lord, here's another convincing thing. And this was, I think it was Thursday or Friday. I'm like, Lord, just, you know, something's just not right in my spirit on, and what am I doing that's wrong here? And he said, son, what you're doing is you're living in convince me. Convince me, Lord, that you are going to bless the people in the church. Convince me that you are going to give favor. And he said, son, I already told you I was. You need to live in expectancy. Because if you're living in convince me, I'm no different than the Pharisees who said, show me a sign that you are God. Heal somebody and then I know you're really truly God. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. Convince me that you really did say you were going to bless the church, and you continually do. And then, you know, the night before this took place, in the morning when I'm spending time with him, he said, I called up a gentleman who his kids have come to our VBS, and they would love to come, but the way their family dynamics work is they're always working. One of the two is always working, so they can't bring their kids to church. I said, hey, can I bring your kids? He said, they would love that. So our youth group grows by 2 or 3 kids just for the simple fact of saying, ask him, can you pick him up? Yes, let's do that. The Bucher family picks people up in their community all the time. It's like asking and showing and reaching out, and God says, I'll bring people in, because it's connection, is letting people know that you care, right? And God says, here's favor. That's favor. At least I accept that as favor. And we have new friends here visiting today. I see that as favor, that the Lord is saying, hey, look, live in expectancy. Live in expectancy and not doubt. Because the convincing attitude says, hey, show me, because when you don't see it, you go, oh, I guess it wasn't. So when Jesus didn't heal somebody, was it a response to say, you know what? He must not be God then. Oh yeah, he healed all these people over here. But yeah, he didn't heal that one. So I guess he's not God. Is that how we're supposed to live? Absolutely not. And that's where the Lord said, make sure your mind is in the right place. Because somewhere along the line, I did not let the peace of God guard my heart, as we're looking at in Philippians 7. Subtle, extremely subtle, that does take place. And my encouragement to you as we dig into the Word of God today is that you look and be alert to not let the subtleness move your mind into the wrong spot. And for me, being convinced that God said what He said and what He encouraged me with for months, because let's, you know, be honest, we look around and we don't have as many friends in our community here. And it makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? And we have to look back under the promises of God and what He says. Where He got you to get to the point where you're at now. Because if not, what happens is that you eventually give up. You turn over. And we don't want to give up or turn over unless God says, okay, it's time to give up and time to turn over. And He hasn't called that here for this church. And I'm encouraged because I'm not the only one who God's speaking this to. It's other people. You know, we heard with Felicia that God's promise of years ago that this will be a beacon in this community, one of many beacons in the community. So there's many churches, and we got to hold on to those truths when God speaks. So let's look and dig in God's word. So as if you've got the notes, some of these notes were from last week, and we'll continue on. But did you have time to reflect this week? Consciously taking all your concerns to the Lord through prayer. Were you able to do that this week? Did you take time to do that this week? Did His peace guard your mind as your fears and anxieties might have been in the midst of that situation? His promise is that He will guard our hearts and our minds with His peace. And that's one of those things that would take place as we give it to Him and hand those anxieties and those fears, those concerns to Him. He said, the promise is, I will give you my peace to cover it. So we're going to continue on with this in this message that that we want to surrender everything over to Him. You know, it's important, absolutely important, because we have an enemy. And an enemy who wants to take away the truths of God that He gives, and he wants to take them away, and he wants to distort them. And all he has to do is distort them. Because to be convinced of something, that isn't bad in itself. But it is wrong when God has already shared the truth and said, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, and then you're saying, God, well, still convince me about it, please. Continue to do that. And he does it again. We'll continue to do that. Does it again. Continue to do that. Because after what ends up happening in that relationship is that you don't trust that person. Isn't that true? And God says, I know you love me, son. I know you care about me. And I know that you know what I say is true and will come to pass. And you want to know, did I really speak to you in this? Just look at the evidences. Look at what I'm doing. Now just look with expectancy when it happens again and rejoice with me when it takes place. We have an enemy and he wants to destroy you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober in spirit and be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. I mean, if he's a lion ready to go devour and he's seeking around doing that, then everyone who calls Christ your king, be ready. Be on alert. And he comes in many, many different ways to devour us. Sometimes it is through fear. Sometimes it is through doubt. Sometimes it is through hopelessness. But all of those will take place as we don't take our anxieties and our fears and our concerns to God, to let his peace guard our minds. John 10:10 says this about the devil. He's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's your enemy. Know him. Know he's there. But don't fear him. That spiritual battle's here. And it begins in the mind. Who we let control the mind will direct what we do and what we say and what we think. Do we let God, Satan, or ourselves direct what we think? It's questions we have to ask ourselves as we think about this. Who really does direct what I think? Is it my friends? Is it the TV? Is it what popularity says? Is it who is really directing it? Does God really direct my thinking? Because if he does, I'll probably spend more time with him. I'll probably ask him, will you show me what I need to do next? God, I have a question. I'm stumbled here. If he's the one who directs our lives, we'll go to him. So it's a great question to ask ourselves, because if we have an enemy who's ready to devour us and we don't go to God, and then we're already setting ourselves up for failure. And that's definitely not what God wants to do in our lives. 2 Corinthians 10 says, for we walk by the flesh, we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of the warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive. And that's the part of the verse I want you to see. We're taking every thought captive. Because that battle is going to begin in the mind. You know, Satan, he has tools. Part of those tools, he wants to bring chaos and disorder. You feel like your life is a little chaotic or disordered? Well, Satan loves to come and he loves to bring that chaos and he loves to bring disorder. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. So when everything around you starts to feel like it's falling apart, God is still giving you peace in the midst of the world being in disorder and falling. But God isn't bringing that disorder in your own life and inside of you, because he's a God of peace in the midst of disorder. You know, one of Satan's tools, one of his best tools, is fear. He loves to use fear because it disables us. It stops us in our tracks. We're scared to move forward. I remember when, as a child, when I would be in a room and the lights were off, and And I know I had to go down the hallway, but I didn't want to go outside the room because I didn't know what was outside the room. And I would sit in the room and I go, I don't know. I gotta go outside. I gotta go to the bathroom because the bathroom's down the hallway. And I would sit there and I don't know, maybe. And then you run to the bathroom and you're like, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. But fear stopped me for a long time before I would even leave the bedroom to go outside. And you know, you peek out the door and you look around and you're like, you don't want to turn on the lights because you'll wake everybody up. But it stops us. Stops us from moving forward. Sometimes it might be, you know, I'm afraid that I might not succeed in something, so I won't try. Maybe it's a fear of losing somebody, so I won't love. Fear leads to doubt. Doubt leads to distrust. Distrust leads to hopelessness, and hopelessness leads to letting go. And letting go, sometimes it leads to apathy, and sometimes it leads to death. We absolutely just give up. Fear starts these. It encourages these things. And God wants us to take every thought that we have captive, take it to Him through prayer in a thankfulness that says, God, you're going to take care of me. You love me, so I'm coming to you because you do love me. And you say you do, and I'm trusting that you do. And you say you're going to give me the peace that's going to cover what I'm having anxiety with right now, the fears that I have, the frustration, the lack of hope and hopelessness. You are going to give me the peace that covers all of that. I can't make this peace up. I can't just put myself in a different situation and then, oh, it's better and it's peaceful. I like to eat dark chocolate. When I get stressed a little bit, I don't just eat dark chocolate, you know, because it makes me feel good. Yes, it does make me feel good, but it doesn't change my situation, and it's a false peace if I do. But sometimes don't we go to those things? Maybe I check out with the TV. Maybe it's you check out at the gym. Maybe it's you check out, you walk down. Maybe you go hiking. Maybe you, whatever it is for you that you fill that in, that you check out because you create your own peace, but you're really running away from the real issue. And God says, I want to deal with the issue so that you can live in freedom, that you can live in power, that you can live the way you're supposed to live with me. Because all of those other issues, all of those other places that I would go or choose or you choose and go to, those are all without God first and foremost. Those are putting Him in the side. Hey, you follow me. Hey, let's go have some ice cream over here. And then let's go to the park. Let's go to the beach. Let's go somewhere sunny where it's going to make me feel good. Let me sleep today. And we end up telling God what to do instead of taking everything to Him and letting Him be the supplanter of the issues. Satan tries to convince us for what the real issues are in life. He tries to convince us that what's actually false is true. Go to that. You know, take care of yourself over other people all the time. You've got to take care of yourself, but at the expense of others. It fills our minds with things that we think that are going to be okay, that they're actually really not. But let's go to Genesis 3:1. Some examples of how he works. Questioning to know what they know. And he questioned Adam and Eve on what they already knew. You know, very, very similar to the experience that I experienced this week, that I already knew God was going to bring favor. How is he going to do that? Trust him. He says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts in the fields, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? So he's questioning that. Are you sure? Are you sure? Questioning what they actually know. If there's a question that comes up and I'm not really sure, where should we go first? I should go to God. God, did you say that? Is this what you really said? Did you say that you love me more than anything? That you'd give your life for me? Or did you say that you might do anything? You might give your life for me because you love me? Or, yes, I did, but only if you do this will I love you. You ever been in a situation where You feel like you're alone. Everybody is kind of left. Well, God, you say you're with me, but you say you will never leave me or forsake me, but I feel alone. And he acts upon those acts of feelings. And sometimes Satan will take that feeling and make it as if it's true. And that's not the truth. The truth is God says, I will always be there for you. I will never leave you or forsake you. But the enemy tries to twist that and make the feeling the reality, and that's not true. So he denies what God said. The serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die. But what did God really say? If they would go to him, what did he really say? In Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, for any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day from it you'll surely die. And in the Hebrew it can be translated, dying you will die. You will begin dying. But did he really say that? Are you really going to die? And then Satan tries to convince them here to be like God. For God knows that in a day your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, even a twist and a taint on that. We know good and evil. Are we like God? Not in the least bit. Can you create a world? Can you create a new being out of nothing? I mean, are we really, really like God? I think he just said something that was really, that's really appealing. God is amazing. I want to be amazing like God. But in Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, man has become like us, knowing good and evil. But there's a difference. We are not like God, knowing good and evil, for he is holy, righteous, and good, and knows everything about evil, and he can handle it correctly. He knows everything about it, knows how to handle it correctly. But you know, we, Adam and Eve, we fell from the holiness and the righteousness. And we know evil because we do evil. We can't sustain from it. God doesn't do evil. So we're not like him, and that's one of the things that the enemy wants to confuse and twist. He doesn't share the complete truth. And Eve shares this by, the serpent deceived me and I ate. He's a great deceiver. So your enemy is a great deceiver. And we need to know who he is and be alert with that, as Peter tells us. You know, the woman and Adam, they kind of acted impulsively. Oh, if it's going to make me smart, wise, like God, hey, let's do it. Instead of looking at the facts of really what was going to be taking place and making sure their facts were correct by asking and talking with God himself. Now, it's important to understand that Satan didn't make them do it. He didn't make them be disobedient to God. That was their own choice. Just like it's for us, it's our own choice to be disobedient to God now. You can be tempted, you can be tested, you can be turned and deceived, but you make your own choices. It's not the enemy who makes those choices for you. And we have to own those decisions that we make. And we know that God's response to that, which is absolutely loving, that he didn't destroy them, but he gave them a hope for a future. He gave them an encouragement that there's going to be a Savior that's going to change the brokenness that they created, and he's going to make it brand new one day for those who love him and follow after him. So it's really, really important. So when life seems confusing, when fears start to become overwhelming, we need to turn to God for the wisdom that we need. In James 3:17 says, by the wisdom from above that's pure, first pure and then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, and full of mercy, of good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. If we want wisdom in our situation, we need to go to God who gives it freely, and part of his wisdom is peaceful. And as we look back in Philippians 4:7, that it's the peace of God that's going to guard our hearts and minds. We need to ask for wisdom. Let's go back and read Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And there's a couple of things we want to point out here. The peace of God will calm all the storms, and it'll bring peace. That's a truth from God Himself. Our minds will try to discern all the trouble that we encounter, the fears and anxieties. They'll build up, and they'll be from unknown factors, what's out there, or things that might even be present. They'll build up, but God will give us peace in the midst of all of that, and it'll be His peace that He covers it with. But we have to take our prayers and our petitions to Him, those concerns to Him. I was sharing with somebody this week as we were talking about this that it's like, I've been going to God for a long time, and I've been asking Him about these issues, and it just, I'm still in the same boat I was before. Still with the same circumstances, still with the same fears, the same anxieties, the same troubles. I'm doing it, Pastor. Did you really give it to Him? There's a difference between talking about your problems, and then there's a difference between laying them down and letting them go. And I need help to do that. I need help to do that, especially when fears get so entangled and there's anxiety that's so deep. It's hard just to say, here's my fear, I'm going to put it there, God, You take care of it, like it never controlled me before. So I need help to do that. And God says, I'm going to give you help. He promises to give us help by His Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in My name, He will teach you all things. He will teach you how to lay down your anxiety and your fears and give it to Him. He will teach you how to do it. The problem is, most of us don't care to take the time to let Him show us. And then when He shows us, to actually do it. Isn't that true? When we look at it, He says, my truth is, I'm going to be there with you and I'm going to help you through every single step. 2 Timothy 2, 1:13 says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Let me go back and read a little bit. Retain the standard of sound words, living in the truth, which you have heard from Me, the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure that's been entrusted to you. The Holy Spirit is going to guard us. He's going to be the one who's going to take care of us. He helps teach us, He's going to show us how He actually guards our minds and our hearts so that we don't have our treasure ripped out. So the enemy doesn't come in and devour us and destroy us. John 14, the Helper may be with you, and He's with you forever. When you feel alone, you're not. In John 14:26, a little bit farther down, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in My name, He will teach you all things. He will bring to remembrance everything that I've said. These are truths that we can sit upon and live in. You know, this peace that guards us, the Holy Spirit, the peace that Jesus is talking about, or Paul sharing with us that we had read about, the peace of God which surpasses all of understanding. This peace that he's talking about is not just this thing that's just kind of like, well, what is actually peace? Is it a feeling? Is it a thought process? I mean, those are part of it that come along with it. But this peace that guards us, we're seeing that it's the Holy Spirit partially, who is God Himself in the midst of this. And 2 Timothy 4:17 says, the Lord stood with me and He strengthened me. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me to safely into His heavenly kingdom. Paul's encouraging Timothy about this. God is going to be the one who's going to guard him. He's going to be the one who strengthens him. He's going to be the one who's there with him. In Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. what man will do to me. 1 John 4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The helper who has come, the God himself who lives in you, if you call Christ your king, that you love him with your life, he is your Lord. He is there inside you, guiding you, directing you, guarding you, teaching you how to put your anxieties on him so that his peace, he himself, will be the peace. You know, in Ephesians 2:13 it says, for he himself is our peace. In this, Paul can say, because in Micah 5:4 says, and he will rise and a shepherd his flock, and the strength of the Lord in his majesty, in the name of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And he will remain, because at this time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. Not only reconciliation between enmity before God, where we have fallen from his presence in the relationship, that he brings us back and brings us into a peaceful relationship where I have no condemnation in Christ, the Messiah who's taken all my sin upon himself. Now I have this beautiful relationship with God that I can go to him anytime, take any frustration, any care to him, let him speak to me, let him guide me, let him give me the peace that I can't make on my own. Let him be everything. The peace that Paul is talking about in Philippians 4:7, the peace that guards us is Jesus. It's God himself. We have to give our concerns to him and let him take care of it. But there's also a position that we need to be in. And that's continual trust. Continually letting him be God in the midst of all of our situations. Can you put that picture that's up on the that I have up on the screen there? As he's putting that up. If you can see that, okay. You don't need to see the words, but what's up there is a picture of two glasses. One has an orange and it has its skin on the orange and it's floating. The orange that has the skin peeled off, it falls to it's at the bottom of the cup. And as the verse there is Ephesians 6:10-18, which I'm going to read here. Put on the full armor of God, and then you can picture the orange that's floating has the skin on it, which is what we call the armor. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the devil's schemes. We have that enemy who's out there who wants to destroy us, who wants to make us live in our fears, who wants to make us not move forward. In a battle, if you don't move forward, you're going to be overtaken by your enemy. God wants us to continue moving forward with his armor. Part of that armor is taking my concerns to him and letting him be my peace. Letting him guard my mind when I get scared. You know, there was a time that the battle of my mind was very, very difficult the last couple weeks. And one of the things that the Lord said, and I've shared this last week, I believe, was that when the thought came, okay, Lord, please help my mind think upon the truth. And I get up and, there's the thought again. Lord, take that out of my mind. May you be supplanted there. You go a little farther. Oh, no. There. You think the enemy doesn't speak? You know, spiritual warfare is something that we don't have a full, total grasp on, but I know it's there. And I know it's alive, and I know it's real. Absolutely. If the enemy, the devil, is around, flying around, doing whatever he's doing, trying to devour, you don't think he's not encouraging people to say the things that hurt you the most because you know and they don't even know it? You don't think that he's speaking into somewhere around however that happens? Do you ever have thoughts that just pop out of nowhere? You're like, where in the world did that come from? I was just worshiping Jesus and what happened? I believe it's a spiritual battle that's taking place. And it's at that point you take your mind and you make it captive to Christ. Lord, I need you to help this thought go away. Lord, I need you. And that he supplants it with his peace. I need you to take that and take it. That is not true. That's a lie. That's a lie that came up in my mind that somebody told me 20 years ago. And I know it's not true, but now it's alive in my mind again. Lord, take that thought away. Because the truth is, you think I'm special. The truth is, I am loved by you. The truth is, I'm a victor, not a victim anymore, because of what you've done in my life. Do you ever have those thoughts just out of nowhere, just pops in your mind? Enemy's testing you. Will you bite? Will you start to live in the fear again? Will you start to live in depression about that again? Will you let me pour more bad thoughts on your mind? Because when the peace of God rules your mind and rules your heart, stuff like that has no effect. It doesn't dictate what you do and how you live. If I don't look to the scriptures and see that God values me as a person, then I won't value myself. Because the world doesn't value me. People use you all the time. But God doesn't. And he speaks blessings in your life and he speaks power in your life. But if I don't believe the truth, then I'm going to believe something else. So part of that, putting that full armor on, is believing in the truth, taking our struggles to God. Our struggles are not against the flesh and the blood, but against rulers and against powers and against the worldly forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I don't know how all of that works, but it's true. Our battle is not with each other. Never has been. It's always been against the devil and his schemes that try to take the truth and pervert it in such a way that we think the perverted part is the truth. We see that happen in our society all the time, where those who victimize become the victim. And somehow they gain rights that they shouldn't have anymore. Things get twisted. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the day of evil, the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded yourself with your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are active. You're putting them on as a soldier. As you would go into battle, you would go to sleep with it on. You wouldn't take it off. Because if the enemy attacked at night, you'd get right up and you would start to fight. At a moment's notice, we're never ever to take off our armor of God, or we're going to sink like that orange to the bottom. And if I put this in and I apply this, if a thought comes that is one ungodly, take it to Jesus. Whatever thought that could possibly be. If there's a lie that's shared, take it to Jesus. If there's a fear that starts to come up, take it to him and let him take it out and give you the truth and supply peace. Because our peace only comes from God himself. There is no other true peace. In addition to all these, take up the shield of faith which is able to extinguish all the arrows of the evil one. As he's shooting those out, hey, believe this, you are this, you are this. And fill those arrows in with whatever the enemy has shared with you before and how destructive those can be. But the shield of faith, what God believes about me, what he says about me, those extinguish it. You're going to fail. You know, we could believe as a church, one of the enemies would shoot out as, where are y'all at? Where are all of y'all? Look around you. But the truth is, God will bring favor. God is with us. God is here. And he says, with all prayer and petition, and pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and petition with all the saints. And 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. Our defense, going back, pray. Prayer and supplication with thankfulness, giving our whatever we have that's bothering us to God, and let Him be our peace. Take it to Him. Trust Him. Let Him show you how He's going to do that in your life. Let Him be God. So our minds are the battleground. What we believe is how we act. It's going to be how we live. If we believe that God is truly who He says He is, all-powerful, mighty, transformed us, has put a new spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us, if we actually believe that, we're going to live differently than the world looks. Absolutely. You'll live differently than a Christian who says, I don't know if the Holy Spirit really does live in me. I don't know if God is really who He says He is. You'll look differently. And hopefully you'll be in such an encouragement that they start to look at your life and say, you know what, you've got something different than I do. You have a peace and a hope because you trust God in a way that I can't or I don't. So this week, as you're spending time with Him, and the enemy has been maybe working on your own life in the last couple weeks and trying to dissuade you and move you in a way that just puts you from fear into that, in the anxieties that start to lose hope, and you're starting to feel hopeless. Maybe you're in that spectrum somewhere. Write down those fears. Write down those concerns. Write them on a sheet of paper. Lay them at the cross. Give them to the Lord. Ask Him, Lord, help me to really let go of those so that I don't go back and pick them up, or that I really don't set them down before You and let Your peace. You'll know when you're able to do it, because the peace of God will rise up in your life in such a way that you know it's Him. You didn't create it. And that whatever you're struggling with doesn't have a hold on you anymore. You can see it, you know it's there, but it doesn't control you. That's what God can do in your life. He wants to, but you got to bring it to Him, and you got to let Him, by trusting in what He says He's going to do. It's just like salvation. He says, I love you, trust me, believe me. I died on the cross for you. Will you accept me? Accept my taking your penalty. Will you follow me? Because I'm the Lord God Almighty. You believe it? If you do, you say yeah. And then you follow Him. It's no different when we take our thoughts. Lord, here's what I'm struggling with. It's so hard. Here, I give it to You. It could be hurt. It could be pain. Lord, I need Your peace to fill it. I trust that You're going to do it. Now I'm going to watch with expectation. Not convincing. Lord, convince me how You can do it, like what I was dealing with earlier. But expectation of when You're going to do it and how You're going to do it, how You're going to show me You're going to do it in my life. So I encourage you to do that this week as you go to the Lord and spend time with Him. If you're struggling with something, write it down. Give it to Him. And let Him show you how powerful He is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that Your truth is amazing, that You are a God that gives peace and desires to give peace. Our enemy wants to destroy and pull things away, but Lord, You restore and You give peace, and You help us to live this life in a way that is unlike anybody else. At peace, because You become everything. Lord, help us to let You become everything in our life this week. As we spend time with You, let just give You the things that are bothering us, and let You supplant Your peace, taking away the doubts, the fears, before they become to that point where we lose hope and we become apathetic. Lord, we don't want to be there. We want to be vibrant, excited, joyful, and at peace in our relationship with You, because You are the center. And we've given You everything. We've surrendered it over to You. So Lord, I pray for that for all of us this week. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.